Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Philemon reading. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we live wisely and harmoniously as your baptized people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, I'm preaching today on the Philemon reading. You might be disappointed that I'm not preaching on the gospel. 6 years ago, on Father's Day, we had the same gospel reading. And I preached on the gospel then, so if you'd like to know what it's said about that reading, go to the link in your bulletin, you can hear that sermon. But today, I want to preach on the Philemon reading. Now, this is a book of the Bible not well known to many Christians, because it's easy to miss as you look through your Bibles. As it happens, it's at page 167 in your New Testament Pew Bibles there, the New Testament section. You'll see it's just one page and not even a full page. But it's a great letter full of Christian encouragement. Let's get straight into it today. Here's how it begins. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul here is writing from captivity. You know your New Testament, some of the letters that Paul writes are written from what we'd call jail, at least arrest of some sort. So for example, Philippians or Colossians or Ephesians, written by Paul from jail, and here's another letter. So Paul's been proclaiming the gospel, and it hasn't landed him with plaudits or money or worldly glory, it's landed him in jail. And he's writing from a team ministry perspective. He's with Timothy, you may have noticed. So when Paul writes often, he's writing from a team ministry perspective, and here it is today. He's writing especially to one bloke, really, Philemon, a person who has come to the faith through the ministry of St. Paul himself. Now, St. Paul here is writing a highly personal letter, and is writing into a highly charged situation. Evidently, Philemon's slave, Onesimus, has run away, and more than that, has stolen his master's money in the process. So Paul is writing on behalf of this thief and this runaway slave. He's writing on behalf of Onesimus, who has become a Christian through St. Paul's ministry, while St. Paul has been imprisoned. We're about to find out in this letter what it meant for St. Paul when he wrote in Galatians 3, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." Now listen to how St. Paul starts. "When I remember you in my prayers," he says, talking to Philemon here, "I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ." When you come to understand that the Christian faith is not a theory, but a practice, and that we can do good as an exercise of our faith. "I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother." Do you notice how personal all of this is? So Paul steps forward, if you like. He gives thanks to God for Philemon, for his life of faith, for the good example that he's shown, also in the way that he's shown love for Christian brothers and sisters. So Paul tells Philemon that he prays for him, and he gives the content of his prayers, that he may come to a deeper understanding of the practical nature of faith. And he tells Philemon that he gets encouragement from him, that he gets encouragement in the faith as an apostle from Philemon and from his life of faith. It's good for us to think about this, Because sometimes we can think people like St. Paul must have been fine as faithful Christian people. They could put up with anything, but St. Paul makes it very clear that he receives encouragement when Christian people give examples themselves of the life of faith. And I can tell you, as a pastor by no means in St. Paul's league, that I'm deeply encouraged when I regularly see people in this congregation exercising their faith. It's a beautiful thing to see. Now, St. Paul is going to move toward the purpose of his letter. And there's nothing hidden or deceitful in what he's about to do. But what St. Paul is going to write is bold, even laugh out loud, bold. Keep your ears open as you listen to how St. Paul writes. Think about how, well, cheap he is in this letter, but for a gospel reason and for a love reason. For this reason, St. Paul writes, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now, St. Paul is saying here that he could pull rank. He could, as an apostle, command Philemon to do the right thing, but he'd rather not do this. It's more in keeping with the spirit of the Christ to persuade rather than to command. And so he draws attention to what you could call moral points of persuasion when it comes to his relationship with Philemon. First of all, he says that he does this persuasion as, in our translation, an old man. The Greek word here is presbyteros. It could be translated, and normally would be translated, elder. Now, last night I went to a play at the Dunstan Playhouse. And they started with a welcome to country sort of thing. You might be familiar with this. And they talked about elders, past and present. And it seems to me that's a better way of understanding how St. Paul is talking about himself here. As somebody who is in a position of respect. As someone who has wisdom that's gained by years of experience. Philemon, I'm writing to you as an elder. As someone worthy of your respect. And he also says that he's writing as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Philemon, you're out and about living your life, you're a wealthy guy, I, for the sake of the gospel, am in prison. This gives my words a certain moral weight, a certain persuasive power, you could say. So Paul does not want to pull rank, but he is drawing attention to the morally persuasive parts of their relationship. Now, St. Paul gets to the point. It's an appeal for this runaway slave who St. Paul has fathered in the faith. Now, St. Paul here makes a bit of a pun because the name Onesimus means useful. So once not useful to Philemon, now he is useful. So let's pause before we go on. How do you think Philemon would have felt about his runaway slave, Onesimus? The law was on Philemon's side. There were stacks of slaves in the ancient world. We think more slaves than free people. If you let slaves run away, the whole of society would collapse. The economy would collapse. And more to the point, his slave ran away and, it seems, took Philemon's property with him. In a court of law, everything would be on Philemon's side. Onesimus would face punishment, even severe punishment. So let's tap into how Philemon might feel, how we might feel if we were cheated. I was cheated during the week. Somebody got hold of my credit card number and made 8 purchases with it. Do you think I'm well disposed emotionally towards those people? I am not. Do you think I want the law to be on my side? I do. What if I find out that those people converted to faith during the week? How would I scratch my head? What would I think? Well, it seems that St. Paul knows how Philemon could have felt. Because he stands up for Onesimus by putting himself in the picture, by making Philemon's response to Onesimus also part of his reaction to St. Paul and even to the Lord Jesus. This is perhaps what I'm saying now, a bit obscure. Let's hear what St. Paul writes. I'm sending Onesimus, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. St. Paul is not simply sending back, he says, a runaway slave. He's sending back his own heart. Okay, strong language. Then St. Paul gives this strong recommendation of Onesimus' work ethic. He would be useful to St. Paul in prison. What's more, there seems to be the assumption that Philemon has a moral debt towards St. Paul. Onesimus, your runaway slave, could do for me help in prison, which I'm sure you would do if you were here. In fact, this is a way you can serve me, by letting me have Onesimus as a helper in prison. But actually, what St. Paul is getting to is far deeper and more significant than this. Again, St. Paul does not want to demand, but to persuade, so he goes on. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while. That's a nice way to put it, was separated from you. He ran away and stole, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but as more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Here's a great piece of gospel persuasion. Philemon, you might think this is a wretched situation, only demanding revenge and punishment. But look how God has used it for the best. This runaway slave has become a Christian through this process, and is returning to you not simply as a slave, but more than this, as a brother in Christ. Think about it from God's point of view. Now, if you were doing a Bible study on this, and you had some good long Bible studies during the week, we'd speculate on some of the motivations that Onesimus may have had for converting to Christianity. And it really is worth thinking about. But we know from the text that St. Paul takes Onesimus' conversion as the real deal. And he stands up for him on the basis of his new status as a baptized child of God. You can see how St. Paul here is appealing to Philemon's faith, to encourage him to use it, to do something with it. St. Paul then puts himself right into the middle of this potentially conflicted situation. He says, so if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. You, Philemon, might feel like throttling Philemon. But when you see him, the welcome you give him, that will be the welcome you're going to give me. That's how I'll take it. You throttle him, you throttle me. You treat him with kindness and compassion, you treat me with kindness and compassion. Can you see, this is not simply an idea of the gospel. This is the gospel in action among real flesh and blood human beings. This is the real exercise of the apostolic office, of what it really means to be a Christian in leadership. To speak up for people who are fearful, to speak up for people who expect only punishment, to be agents for reconciliation. Blessed are the peacemakers, our Lord Jesus Christ says, for they will be called what? Children of God. Now, to sweeten the deal, St. Paul goes on. This is to sweeten the deal. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. If you're angry because he's flogged money from you, and I understand that, if you're angry about that, well then don't charge it to him, he can't pay it back. Charge it to me. Now, listen to what goes on next. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. We understand that St. Paul normally dictated these letters, that people wrote them down for him as he spoke. There are two times in the Gospels, I should say in the letters, where we know that St. Paul is writing with his own hand. In Galatians he does this, and he does it here. It's like he's giving his personal IOU. I'm not just saying it, here's something legally binding. I'm signing my name to this. If he's flogged money from you, I'll pay it back. I, Paul, with my own hand, guarantee it. But get a load of his very cheeky and bold next line. I say nothing about your owing me your very own self. Do you get it? I'll pay you back, Philemon. I promise before the law, no matter what, I'll pay you back. But I won't mention that I've saved your life. I won't mention that you owe your life of faith to me. And again, you can see there's this persuasion, bold and even cheeky persuasion at work here. Well, Philemon now has the chance to do St. Paul a good turn. So St. Paul concludes, "Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. I've done a good turn to you, Philemon, by bringing you to faith through the proclamation of the gospel. Now it's a great chance for you to do something for me, and I'll be in your debt," I think is at work here too. "Refresh my heart in Christ," he says. "Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say." So Paul is saying, "Philemon, you have a chance to help me out. And I'm confident that you will do this. You're a man who has a great track record of living out the Christian faith. You've got a great track record of showing love for Christian people. You're going to do what I ask. In fact, I'm confident, Philemon, you're going to do more." What's the implication here? That will free Philemon from slavery. Now, slavery was an institution in the ancient world, unquestioned. And when the apostles write their slaves, they do encourage them to live out their life as slaves with faith in God. But notice how St. Paul takes a gospel approach to this situation in the church with Christian people. So you can see how the gospel works itself out in community as people show compassion to each other and learn that their baptismal status is not an idea, but a reality. Now there's a wonderfully cheeky P.S. to the letter that we didn't hear from the lectern today. It's very short. Listen to how cheeky this is, but wonderfully cheeky. "One more thing," St. Paul says. "Prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping, through your prayers, to be restored to you. I've just asked you to do what might be very difficult and costly for you, Philemon, and I know it, and I've been persuading you. What's more, I'd like to check out that you're going to do this by coming to your house and staying in your guest room. And how will that come about? Because you're going to pray for it to happen. Philemon's prayer, dear Lord, make sure that St. Paul is freed from prison so he can come and visit me." It's cheeky, but wonderfully gospel cheekiness. What a great thing to live in a Christian community where we have this sort of faith modelled for us by St. Paul, who uses his gospel authority to bring people into reconciled love for one another, to show them what the gospel actually means as it's worked out in the Christian community, as people move from understandable conflict and anger to reconciliation, forgiveness, and Christian love. Think about how St. Paul here gives us an example of what Christ's love is for us. Think about how our Lord speaks up for us. Our motivations for coming to faith and living by faith might be mixed, but we are baptized people. We do confess the faith, and we do need help, especially when we are fearful of punishment, especially when we have debts we know we can't pay back, especially when we know that we have someone angry with us whose anger cannot be reconciled by our own works or efforts. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks up for us, even to the Heavenly Father who loves us and wants us back with him, and therefore with each other, in this sort of love. Well, that's a letter to Philemon. A wonderful letter in the New Testament. Easily missable, but filled with gospel riches. And may God use these words to give us the mind of Christ, so that in being loved by Christ, we may be free to love one another. In Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.